League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is ESPN 97.5. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
With the 12th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Deshaun Watson, quarterback, Clemson.
No surprise there. They jump up 13 spots. They want to get a quarterback, and it's the first time since 2003 they take one in the first three rounds of the draft.
That's right. There's nothing to talk about in Houston, Texas, other than that big move on draft night by your Houston Texans.
I was going to talk about Dynamo and Dash today, but I figured there might have been a few occurrences last night worth talking about.
So, one thing I don't want to talk about today is the draft.
Why would we do that? Why would we follow everyone else?
Ugh.
Nick, Barry, and myself, Joel, here for you on a Friday in which the frenzy that is Houston, Texas, is going absolutely bonkers. They got what everybody said they needed. You can debate it all day if they got the right guy, but they got their guy. We talked about the fact that all four of these guys had pretty much kind of the same grades, because whether they were first round grades or not, we kind of expected, and it could have gone with any different position in the draft. But once the floodgates were open, the panic button started getting pushed, things started getting moved, and that's why these mock drafts are just fun and games and fodder, but they're never really accurate, because all of a sudden there was a floodgate open of quarterbacks, then offensive players, then all kinds of guys were sliding as value picks towards the end of the draft. But at the end of the day, the Texans and Rick Smith looked like heroes simply because they didn't give up the farm to get the guy that they wanted after witnessing the debacle that the Bears succumbed to at two just to go move up one spot. And then the fact that the Chiefs paid a little bit more to get Mahomes.
Oh, where to start?
I don't know.
First of all, I feel like because this draft was so deep defensively, that there was eight of the first 10 were offensive players that were drafted, because I think teams felt like, well, you know what? Even if a few of these guys, if we lose a couple of these guys, we can still draft quality depth in the second round at some of these positions. And so you saw them addressing some offensive needs early because it was thinner at some of these positions offensively. I feel like when I was watching the draft, one of the things, and I don't know, and obviously we're going to talk about a lot of this, but it kind of irks me every year I watch the draft and I see all these agents sitting around the tables and high-fiving and hugging, and I'm like, bro, you didn't do anything.
Got like, paid.
Yeah, you don't do anything. You do some negotiating, but you haven't even done that yet. And you're there, and like, oh, I don't know. There's something slimy about that for me. Like, that dude and his family and his friends, and that's who should be there. You're an agent. I don't know. That's just a personal thing for me. They kind of made me sick. But yeah, kicking it off, no surprise first, the Bears, you know, it's so funny because it was so far removed from it that I even forgot about it. I kind of did my winners and losers and all that on Twitter, and I didn't even include the Bears in my losers. I had to go back once I saw what once I saw what
gave up.
Yeah,
a boatload.
Once I saw what the Niners did, and then realized why, I was like, well, the Niners are one of the winners in this draft, and then I realized, and the Bears are a loser.
Yep.
In this draft, they gave up a 3 and a 4 and a 3 next year to move up one spot. To take a guy that maybe they, you know, some people are like, well, they got fleeced. No, my thought as soon as I heard it was, well, there was a bidding war. And some people were willing, you know, whether it was the Jets or maybe the Browns who wanted to go 1-2 and get a quarterback. You don't know who was against them or bidding. Maybe it was the Chiefs. I didn't think that it was just a one-to-one conversation where they were like, well, we're going to take a quarterback if you don't flip with us. Because then you play that game of chicken, and then you get your second. I felt like it was just a bidding
game. So here's the deal, too. San Francisco,
so they moved up.
Has had a plethora of leaks in their organization. And one of the things John Lynch said, and he went like individual by individual in the front office and said, if I find out you ever leak anything, and he put guys in place to kind of police it. But one of the things that he came out and said was, for the first time, we weren't worried about leaks. So again, kind of like you and I were talking about yesterday, the smoke screens between the slimy agents and the teams themselves trying to deflect people from really knowing what they were thinking probably leads right to what you're saying. There probably were multiple conversations. And even if they weren't going on, as long as the Niners were the only team involved saying, I got calls from two other teams. I got them on hold right now. They're both interested in giving us this and this and this to get to two. I'm sure the Bears also panicked. The disturbing thing to me, John Fox, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, is on record today saying he didn't know about the Bears going after a quarterback and making the trade for Trubisky till about 2 hours before the draft.
Ooh, yeah, that's not
good. That's not a good look.
No, not at all, because I think a lot of people thought they were going to go defense by doing that and moving up and getting ahead of the Niners, because the Niners needed help, you know, in the secondary, defensive line, linebacker. I mean, across the board on the defense, they needed help. So a lot of people thought, well, you know, perhaps the Bears feel like there's a guy defensively that they want to take ahead of the Niners, you know, whether it was a linebacker or a cornerback or whatever. So then they flip-flop with them. And then they do the quarterback, which is why I immediately thought, once I heard that they drafted Trubisky, I thought, okay, there was a bidding war, whether it was the Jets or the Browns or the Chiefs or even the Cardinals. I don't know who, but I really felt like, I don't think the Bears got fleeced. I think they just got into a bidding war, and they won.
I hope for their sake you're right.
Because, yeah, well, me too. And the other thing, I mean, just along those lines, when you look at what the Texans did by moving up to 12, and I have mixed feelings on this whole thing, but the one thing they did is they slid right ahead of the Cardinals and took the last, the last, you know, worthy quarterback for the first round, which it's very possible that the Cardinals at 13 would have taken Deshaun Watson at that point. So kudos to Rick Smith for, one, doing it. I would have never in a million years guessed it, but sliding ahead of the Cardinals, so it was smart as well.
It definitely shocked me. I know that. I was going back and forth between the draft and the Astros game, and I flipped back and was just like, jaw flew wide open going, wow, that's not a Rick Smith signature type move. That's taking a bit of a risk. But you know what? Credit them for getting their guy, because hopefully that's the guy they wanted too, because I was explaining it to some people this morning saying, look, the bottom line is you might like Ramchek from Wisconsin, or you might like, Bowles, the kid from Utah. But one way or another, you know, if you identify your need as a different position, there's going to be two or three guys you can insert. But it's different when you're talking about systematically the guy that fits your system, the guy that fits your eye test. You're more specific when it comes to a position as important as quarterback. So hopefully they were still able to get their guy. They didn't overpay compared to the Bears and maybe even the Chiefs. But overall,
I'm going
to
disagree in a way. And we'll talk about it more.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it. I don't want to, because it'll keep going. But I do like that they did it, though.
I love they did it.
I like that they did it, but I don't like the trade. But I like that they made a move.
Okay.
So,
all right, right now, before we get into more draft talk, and again, you can join us, 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776 on the HR&P listener line, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Right now, I'll tell you about Gallery Furniture. My man Mattress Mac has been doing it in Houston for just year after year. And for a limited time, you can get a Macapedic mattress for $19.99. And right off the top, you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card absolutely free. Mac is the king of American-made solid wood furniture, living room and dining room sets, two-for-one recliners, those Macapedic sleep sets, and all with the same rule, which is you buy today, you get it tonight, because Gallery really will be there to save you money with no back order slips to take care of you. So much so that he's got three showrooms now across the Houston area to cover wherever you live. If you live in Katy and or Sugarland, the Grand Parkway location, right in the heart of the Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak, and the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Gallery offering the largest selection of living room and dining room furniture made in America, and of course, all kinds of recliners and leather seating and special ordered upholstered furniture for your home theaters and your man caves. You can enhance your home so many ways with so many different options furniture-wise. All American made, all with service after the sale, and all with a delivery date of today. As long as you buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery, as always, is there for you, and they guarantee you they really will save you money. Gallery Furniture.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to Draft Central. No, I think we got beat out by that by a few shows. I'm pretty sure this is the topic upon topics in the city of Houston today. But, of course, we like to be a little bit different. We want you involved in it as well. But please feel free to let us know your take on the draft so far. Did they give up too much? Did they give up just enough? Are you pleased? Do you think he's the guy? As always, you can chime in at any time, and we're happy to take you on the hotline, the HRNP hotline, or via text or tweets. But, Barry, before the break, you were talking about the fact that you somewhat disagreed with me, which I'm good with, but yeah. Just in what way?
Well, when I heard it announced, you knew immediately what they were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were going to go up and get Watson, but I didn't know the details of it. And then shortly after, they said that the Texans have traded their first round pick for 2018 to the Browns. And that's when I was like, okay, if you look at it in a silo, if you look at just the trade and the move by itself, it's pretty good. I mean, they addressed a need. They got one of the three best quarterbacks in the draft, even though I still stand by, I think all of these guys in a normal draft with elite franchise quarterbacks, these guys are at the bottom of the end of the draft or in the second round.
Totally agree.
So, but you have to deal, you have to look at what's in front of you. So they gave up a first-round pick, which was probably going to be somewhere below 16 next year, depending on, you know, what happens. But I think it's safe to say it would have been bottom half of the draft.
After they go 7-9?
Yeah. So from that standpoint, okay, you gave up a first-rounder and swapped first-rounders to get Deshaun Watson. One, that's great that they did that. Look at the bigger picture, though. Now, and this is why I hated the trade. They don't have a first. They don't have a first or a second round pick in 2018.
That's right. Yep.
They have no pick, and the two rounds, the only two rounds that Rick Smith gets right, they don't have a pick now. So now we've got to go 3 through 7 this year, and then we have to watch them go 3 through 7 next year, in the rounds that he usually misses on. So if Deshaun Watson isn't the guy, mm-hmm. and he turns out not to be, you've just set this franchise back significantly. So that's part A. Part B is, and people say, oh, well, there's free agency. Oh, yeah, great. You mean the team that had $30 million and didn't do anything with it? That team? Okay, yeah, that's cool. And then there's always, well, they're getting compensatory picks for Bouye and Demps. They're getting a 3rd and 2 six. Not exactly a haul, all right? And then the second part of this is, they've given up a first and a second to the Browns and Brock Osweiler, essentially, to make room to get
a fourth or a third?
Or no, they get a second next year. Or they give up the second, sorry. And then they get Watson, essentially. So the other part of that I don't even know how to phrase this right, because I don't want. Last night on Twitter, people lost their mind when I said I hated the trade. By the way,
oh god, it was like going against the Rockets or James Harden versus Russell Westbrook. There were people extremely passionate again. Last night.
Alex Pena told me, "Why don't I just stick to making bad radio?" And then deleted the tweet before I had a chance to thank her for for her sweet input.
That was a female.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, Alex. Okay. What was I going to say? There was another point I was going to make.
So let me see if I can catch up with you, and you can get that, okay. And maybe it'll come back to you. Because the things that I was, first of all, off the top, ESPN's coverage, and I don't know if it's Berman related or not, but at least Berman did a really good job balancing not only the content by the guys at the desk, but getting the details of trades down. All night long, I was scrambling on Twitter to find out the details of trades, because they were just like, oh, there's a trade in, and now instead of the Texans picking here or Cleveland picking here, Atlanta has moved up, they're taking this pick. And they would never give you the backstory, like with a graphic that says, this is why they're picking here. That bothered me.
Yeah.
But on the trade itself, I did kind of get the feeling like, and we had talked about this yesterday, you have two ways of looking at it. You value your draft and you evaluate it before the draft starts and you stick to it. And no matter how the draft starts happening live, real time, you stick to your guns and say, I still have all those guys rated as second round picks or below, so I'm not doing anything drastic. Or you press the panic button to some degree because you see there's a run of quarterbacks and you're like, if I don't act now, I'm not getting any of my guys. And then, you know, for whatever reason. So I was a little worried that maybe they kind of had a knee-jerk reaction. But the fact that they got the guy that, if I have to take one of those guys all along, that was the guy I wanted.
Totally agree. When I did a little article on Thursday, yeah. I said I think the quarterbacks go, and in this order, I had Watson, Trubisky, and then Mahomes. So I think they got the best of the three,
right?
Which is great. I remember my other point now.
Okay.
Yeah, so you had a one in 2018 that you've given up now to get Watson. You could have packaged that one with some other things, whether it's another one or whatever, and moved up in next year's draft to take one of the three quarterbacks who I think are better than any of these three quarterbacks in this year's draft.
Darnold and...
And gone out and signed Kaepernick or Cutler to get you through the year. But yes, you could have gone and moved up next year in a better quarterback draft and made that move. So that was the other part that I didn't like. They did the move. That's great, because that's so un-Texans-like to go and do it. You address the need. I just hope he's the guy. And then people were hating on me and, listen, I want this team to succeed. I'm a Houston Texans fan before I ever got into radio. Mm-hmm. You know, I want this trade to work. I just don't like the logistics of it, and I don't like the outlook for next year.
And it's fair. So the devil's advocate point I'd make to you, if he's not the guy, is, but when you said, you know, if he's not the guy, then you gave up a lot. But if he is the guy, then I think whatever you gave up is the right price. So it still remains to be seen, but if he is the guy, if he ends up being your franchise quarterback and he ends up being your starter, whether it's a game manager type starter or if he's truly, you know, upper echelon in the NFL, then I don't think that the price is too high. But I did have some reservations about them pushing the panic button when they saw the run coming with the quarterback.
Yeah. Houston gets basically the trade. So with the Browns, this is essentially this hole between Brock and this is what they've done to get Deshaun Watson. They've traded Brock. Mm-hmm. A first and a sixth in this year's draft, and a first and a second in next year's draft to get the first pick in this year's draft at 12 and a fourth round pick.
Yeah, that's why I said anointing Rick Smith general manager of the year, you have to kind of go back and say for all he did to unload Brock or even make this trade, he also had to give up quite a bit to make up for the mistakes he made bringing him in the first place.
Even if you just disregard Brock, let's just disregard that. Two firsts, a second and a sixth for a first and a fourth. Because you're swapping the first. Yeah. So, yeah.
So now, and here's the other thing. Are the Cleveland Browns to the Houston Texans what the Sacramento Kings are to the Houston Rockets? Because it seems like the only team that they can make a trade with is the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and you know, that's the funny thing. If this all works out, if Deshaun Watson is the next Dak Prescott and he's that guy that's gonna that can start, you know, from day one? Because I think it's possible that this kid could go out and win the job in training camp. I think he could. Because I don't think that much of Tom Savage, and I don't think that much of Brandon Weeden.
What's scary is the press conference last night, because I'm with you, but I also would like this kid to sit and learn this year. I think that rushing
him.
Why
who, though?
Because first of all, basically 7-9 might be best case scenario if he starts, just because it's such a learning curve, because he does have to make such an adjustment from the system he ran at Clemson to the NFL style, all those different things. And you don't want him to get beat up like Aikman back in the day. But at the same time, I looked at the whole thing and I said, man, I listened to the press conference. Those two guys who, granted, they're both on the same page for the first time maybe in years, in Rick and Bill. Both guys at the press conference made it seem like, hands down, Tom Savage is our guy and he is the guy and he is going to be great this year for them. And I'm going, well, that's a pretty big leap of faith for your GM and your coach.
But they also said that they know that no one believes them when they say mm-hmm. that they're comfortable in naming Tom Savage as their starter. So you're not the only one. We're not the only one that doubts them.
And that's my point, though. They were adamant in saying, even if you guys don't believe us and believe we're just and think we're just throwing smoke out there,
right?
This is how we feel. So it remains to be seen. But that's why I think Kaepernick and Cutler and all these guys that we like to throw around as names and stopgaps, they're not lying when they said they never would consider either one of those guys. They believe in Tom Savage.
I'm with you. I think Tom Savage will start. And I think the only way...
Does he finish?
Watson starts.
Is he the quarterback by the end of the year?
I think it would take an injury.
With the rifle behind him, that is? Brandon Weeden? Come on.
Yeah.
I really believe Watson sits this whole year. I really do.
So you just did all that for a guy to sit for a year?
I think so. I think because they're grooming him to be your franchise of the future.
You moved up to the 12th pick
in
the draft.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying if you ask my opinion, that's my opinion. I think he's going
to
sit all year.
No, I know. I'm just saying... I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general, if they did that, okay.
How's the fan base going to react to that?
I mean.
Maybe not so good.
I can't wait for Savage's first interception. Oh, Patek!
Oh, man.
It's Watson time.
Immediately. Or the first pick he throws on a 50-50 ball to D-Hop. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be messy. All right, so if you want to chime in on the draft, we're here for you. We also have an opponent for the Rockets in the second round now, as the Spurs did away with the Grizzlies last night in six. So game one will be Monday in San Antonio, as we have another I-10 series. Astros lose a heartbreaker last night as Devo proves he's human. Now they're back home for a weekend series with the A's. We can talk about all that and a whole lot more. If you want to join us, we are the Usual Suspects, and as always, this is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects rolling out on a very busy day in Houston, Texas. The Rockets are still alive and well and heading to the second round.
Who?
So there you go.
Never heard of them.
Texans with 1 day of, 3 days of draft coverage out of the way. Now seemingly have their quarterback of the future. Barry, basically, safe to say, would like him to be more the current in the future.
Well, I think if you're going to do all that, you kind of... Now, I'm not opposed to Savage starts 2 or 3 games, maybe get you to the bye, because it's not that difficult of a schedule before the bye. But it won't surprise me if Deshaun Watson is starting post-bye week.
Okay.
I mean, you went out and got this kid, and you made this quarterback the 12th pick in the draft and gave up a 1 to do that. You should have been pretty sure that this kid could play in the NFL. Now, I think, you know, what is it? 5? I'd have to go back and look at the schedule. Is it 5 games or 6 before the bye?
It's different for every team. Like, last year, Green Bay got screwed and had it after week 4. And I think they should ban that completely.
It's 6 games, yeah. Because I have them going 5-1. Even with Savage, I had them going 5-1. They lose to the Patriots. That's up to the bye week. So, yeah, it's not going to surprise me. Although... Maybe not right out of the bye, because they go on the road to Seattle, and I don't think you want Deshaun Watson's first start to be on the road in that stadium against that team.
Yeah,
but I could see him at home against the Colts, because then you'd have the Colts, the Rams, and the Cardinals. Two at home, one on the road.
Quietly loading up a little bit, too. Colts, yeah. Colts are adding some guys, making some smart picks, loading up on the defensive side of the ball. So that's interesting. But
the other thing, because last night, like I said, people on Twitter were just killing me. They hated me so much for giving an opinion and being honest. But somebody asked me, well, what would you have done? Well, what I would have done is I would have stayed pat at 25 because Ramczyk was still on the board. And Ramczyk, you just passed on your offensive tackle, your left tackle of the future to go get Deshaun Watson. So who's going to protect him? Because now you still don't have him. And I'm telling you, this isn't a great draft for linemen. So now you've either got to, you know, hope that you get some guys back. Martin can play. But now you're hoping your line's going to be good as opposed to addressing it. You could have put Ramczyk at right tackle, Duane Brown at left tackle. You know, and again, done something, Cutler, Kaepernick, or whatever. So I would have taken Ramczyk because he was available at that spot at 25, and I think, you know, and then address QB next year like we talked about by moving up. So
yeah, I mean, I think it all goes back to, you know, how you had him rated and organizations that stick to their guns and stick to their draft board and their rankings or teams that react.
Speaking of rankings, on NFL.com they have grades. Mm-hmm. And here's something that was interesting. Again, it pissed people off when I said it, but don't blame me. I didn't make the grades. I'm just reporting the facts here. In the top 12 picks, that's all the way to the Texans, number 12, taking Deshaun Watson. And you can even stretch that to the top 15. There's only two guys with a grade below 6. Care to venture a guess at who those two are?
In the top 15.
In the top 15 picks, there's two guys that got graded below a 6. To give you an idea, Myles Garrett was a 7.6.
Mahomes?
Yes, sir.
And Deshaun Watson.
That's right. Deshaun Watson was a 5.9. Mahomes was a 5.8.
What was Trubisky?
Trubisky was a 6.3. So just based on those ratings, and those rankings, the way they do the grades is they'll tell you, okay, so a 7 to 7.49, they rank it as Pro Bowl to All Pro ability. So they're saying in that case with Myles Garrett at a 7.6 that he's a future All-Pro. So it kind of goes, you know, 9 to 10, once-in-a-lifetime player. 8 to 9, perennial All-Pro. When you get down to what Deshaun Watson graded out at a 5.9, could become early NFL starter, which is right ahead of backup or eventual starter and right behind chance to become good NFL starter, which is pretty much what we've been saying about these guys this whole time.
Yep. So I just don't want to poo-poo on it early.
I'm just reporting what the NFL.com has listed. You know what I mean? I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm just, you know.
The biggest thing for me was a pleasant surprise that they actually went and did something like this.
Amen.
They took a shot and made a move. Yeah,
I totally agree with you on that. Thank God they did something.
Right. Right.
At least they showed the cojones to make the move.
That's what made me happier than anything.
Surprised.
Because of that. Yeah, very much surprised.
Yeah.
As much as Tack McKinley was surprised that he was on live television last night when he decided to let it all blow, Nick. I mean, here's a guy, a linebacker from UCLA. I don't know if you guys caught this or not after your exuberance and excitement over the Texans move. UCLA pass rusher. Basically abandoned by his parents in one of the toughest neighborhoods in California. And then from there went to Oakland, but was raised by his grandmother. And in the process, grandmother got very sick. And on her deathbed, he promised her that, one, he would get a Division I scholarship, which he got, and that he would eventually make the NFL. And the dream came true last night. He carried the picture of grandma up to the stage with him. And then maybe in an emotional moment, was caught on live TV with Deion Sanders and pretty much didn't think it through.
I made a promise to her. Like I said, I was going to go D1. I was going to get out of Richmond. I was going to get out of Oakland. I was going to live my dreams, play the NFL. And I'm here, man. I completed the promise. That means everything to me. Infuse my language. Man, find me later, man. Find me later, man. This means everything to me. Everything to me, man.
He later followed it up with, I mean, GD, because he was just, but you know what? And we were talking about it back there before the show. You look at that kid, and even when the camera was on him, when they were having him walk up to the stage, he was screaming at the camera, and you're like, that kid right there's ticker. says that's the kind of guy that's going to be relentless on the football field. I like that passion.
Oh, man. Tack had me feeling some special kind of way. I was just like, I was ready to go. I was like, all right, I'm going to go work out right now. Just I got to make myself better. I got to go do something. I just did 20 push-ups right there. I mean, yeah, that dude had me pumped.
Well, you know what I kept thinking about, too, when they were showing the highlights, too, and watching him on stage, is everything that you had broken down about Myles Garrett. Because everything that they criticized Myles Garrett for, when you watch the film on this kid, he is relentless.
Yeah.
It could be on the other side, going towards the sideline, and here, like a bat out of hell, comes this kid with reckless abandon. And I'm going, man, he has got a ticker. And that's a good start for a guy playing that position on defense in the NFL.
Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah, and really going to a team, by the way, in the Falcons that could use it. So,
who do you? And this may be surprising you. Maybe I'll give you some time if you need to just say. But who do you think was the steal of the draft? Because I think it was pretty obvious who it was.
I think it was Allen.
Yeah, definitely. That dude went 17.
Yeah,
that dude. You know, the Niners took a defensive end in Solomon Thomas at 3, and he's good. Don't get me wrong. But I think Jonathan Allen was the second best player in this draft behind Myles Garrett.
And that was just
And some people would argue he was better than Myles Garrett.
Yeah, that was just that influx of quarterbacks and offensive skill position players pushing all the really good players who most people said Jonathan Allen was a top five pick.
Yeah.
At worst, he was 5.
Yeah.
And the other guy that I would say, if it wasn't him, was Adams from LSU, who Gruden would argue was the best ready-to-play-now player in this draft. He said the potential was there for Myles Garrett, but he felt like the best player in the draft overall was Jamal Adams. He slid to 6 to LSU. Most mock drafts had the Bears taking him off the board right away at 3.
Yeah.
Before the trade for Trubisky.
And, you know, the Colts getting Malik Hooker.
Yes.
At 15.
I said that. They're loading up on D, man.
Dude. That's
a steal.
Besides Allen, that's the other steal of the draft to me is Malik Hooker at 15. That dude also probably should have gone, you know, top 5, top 10. The Jets took a safety, so yeah,
And your boy lived up to billing too, by the way.
Who's that?
I kept thinking every time he spoke, I kept thinking of his Wonderlic test. Garrett Bowles. First of all, he's carrying his kid around like a volleyball.
Oh, God.
And spinning him and throwing, no headset on the kid or anything, throwing him out there. And then when he started speaking, I was like, oh, he's brain dead.
I like, first of all, when he started to hug the commissioner, I thought, oh, my God, he's going to drop his baby. He's going to forget he's there because he's so excited and drop his baby. How awesome is that going to be?
Awesome. That's nice.
And then I was thinking, and his speech, he was like, yeah, man, I'm just, you know, this is great. Like, you know, I want this kid to play football, but, whatever he wants to do. I'm like, the kid's 16 weeks old. He's like, but you know, whatever he wants to do, I'm going to be a supportive dad. But he's never going to forget this day as long as he lives. Bro, he's 16 weeks old.
Yeah.
He ain't remembering squat.
Matching suit, too, by the way, from dad and
cute
him.
Cute kid.
Yeah, really cute kid that will be deaf for half of his life because of the noise last night.
Hilarious.
And I believe, even though the mic wasn't on, that they caught Bowles when he was getting close to the commissioner just say, you rang, sir.
Nice.
I kept thinking about going, whoa, this guy is
I'm pretty sure the Philly fans booed the kid, by the way.
It's
I'm
very
pretty
possible.
Sure they very, booed the kid.
Very possible. Because, boy, if the one time in my life that I actually felt sorry for the commissioner, last night, every single time they were relentless and booing his ass.
Oh, I didn't feel sorry for him. In fact, I was like, Roger Goodell was so see-through. He's so transparent. He was sick of getting booed, so he started bringing up high school kids and cancer survivors.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah, boo a cancer survivor. I dare you.
Hall of Fame Steeler guys to talk about their owner that passed away.
Chicken bleep,
after
bro,
he brought it right away. Come on, Philly, bring it. You got more. You don't want that. You don't want that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mark, we see you on hold. We'll get to you as well as anybody else that wants to chime in. Again, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in on text or calls or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Anything you want, it's yours. I'll have you living life
like you should. You say you never had it so good. This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Attention all Southside Blitzers. Come to the Saloon Door Brewery in Webster and watch the draft with the Blitz today. Fred and AJ will broadcast live from 4 until 6 and then hang out for a while for the second round of the NFL draft.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Worldwide Nick, along with Barry and Joel on a Friday afternoon. Nick making the circuit of blogs and podcasts. And
oh, I know what you're referring to.
Before you know it, Nick is going to be worldwide, and he'll be sitting next to Fallon writing thank you notes.
Robert says hello, by the way.
He's a good dude. I'm glad to see you did that. So, Nick, where do we get the podcast with Nick Sciarra and Robert Land?
I don't. Oh, you put me on the spot here.
No, well, just okay. Not to put you on the spot, but try and retweet it or give people a good listen.
I did retweet it, but I'll retweet it again. Okay, at cool. The producer Nick.
All right, so go to at the producer Nick on Twitter and make sure you get the podcast. Nick giving some insights because he is the man, the jack of all trades that covers all Houston sports.
Titan Hugo said 5-1, bro. I'm sorry, but they're not beating the Titans in Week 4. And he asked about the Titans, but I know we got to do calls. But
yeah,
we'll
so
get
let's
to
get some calls out of the way, and then we'll get Hugo. To that, too. We get all, we'll get to it, all show to yeah. Hit the draft stuff. So, Mark, you've been waiting the longest. You want to talk about my beloveds and the fact that they were non-existent last night. What's up?
Well, actually, you know, I got two notes. One a serious note about the draft for the Packers, and one a lighter note. Did you see who Aaron Rodgers drafted as his new girlfriend?
Yes, I did, and thumbs up and kudos to him.
Who?
One of the girls from the new Baywatch movie.
Oh.
That's all you need to know.
So, you know, talking about the Packers, I mean, you know, I think it's a very high possibility they're going to trade back a little bit more because I think they're going to take a running back with their first pick, but I think they're satisfied with other it being Dalvin Cook at a later pick or the kid from Tennessee, Kamara. So, what do you think about that? Because I think they pick up another fourth or fifth round pick with, you know, going back a little bit or maybe something for next year.
So, Mark, Barry and I were just talking about this during the break because I'm not a huge Ted Thompson fan as general manager, but I always have to wait it out until it's actually over with before I pass judgment. But to have Dalvin Cook sitting there and the kid from Tennessee and the kid from Texas and Mixon, if you so desire, get the guy that you want instead of the guy that you're left with. But at the same time, I already know, and you and I both know, how weak their secondary is and how depleted they are at corner. That I really believe he's going to trade down again. He's going to get, because he has 30, he has the first pick of the second round and then 61. I think he'll try and trade back to get another second so that he has three and he can get a corner and a running back and still have 61.
Well, see, I think it's going to be the same thing that happened the year they drafted Lacy and the other running back. I think his name was Jonathan Franklin. Because I think they were going after Le'Veon Bell, but then the Steelers got him. So they ended up with Lacy, which wasn't bad. I mean, Lacy had a couple good years with us, you know.
Yeah.
Because he waited and he moved. I think they moved back in that draft as well. You know, they picked up a couple extra picks here and there, whatever, and all that stuff. But I think they're going to probably go the same route. But I mean, I would rather have Dalvin Cook above the other ones, but you know, but I think maybe they got them rated close enough to where they're, hey, if we lose out on Dalvin Cook and get the Kamara kid, we're not losing out too much.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. If they do move down, they better make sure it's not too far, because once you start getting into the Colts, the Vikings, the Redskins, and the Buccaneers, who all pick between 14 and 18, you might end up losing both of those running backs, Mixon and Dalvin Cook. So if they go past, you know, 13... they're in real trouble of not getting either one of those guys.
You may be stuck taking your choice between the kid from Tennessee and the kid from Texas as opposed to Cook or Mixon, who I believe if there's one place where Mixon can just concentrate on football, it's probably Green Bay, Wisconsin. So we'll see, but I don't want him to get too cute because of the fact that I know what Ted Thompson thinks. He's a draft guru, but I don't want him to be left with the leftovers instead of taking one of the two guys that they actually prefer, which would be Cook and, I guess, or Mixon. So I appreciate the call, Mark.
So what's your preference?
My preference right now is...
You think they'll move down? Or
I really believe he's going to move down whether I like it or not, mm-hmm. and I think that he'll try and get a corner and a running back in the second round, and he'll probably get stuck not getting his A choice. But hopefully he gets B or C.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Now, but that's not your preference.
No, my preference is to go Mixon. Get Cook right now or Mixon. Oh, okay. I think if I had my druthers, and I don't want people to judge me on this, but because I believe it's the one place you can try and straighten a kid out and concentrate just on football, I think Mixon would be the guy.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. So you want to roll through? Let's get at least one more in here before we hit the top of the hour. Let's go to Barry. You pick it.
Chuck wants to talk to Sean Watson. Chuck, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Long time no being able to talk to you.
What's up?
Make the time, Chuck.
You excited, Chuck?
Hey.
You pumped?
No, man. Job just keeps me busy. You know, I love talking to y'all, and I just wanted to say I was wrong. I thought they were going to take Kizer only because I didn't think they would ever move up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to knock them too bad because if you really think about it, in the whole NFL's history, there's been, what, John Elway, Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck have been surefire number one. Everybody else has either been drafted because other teams just flat missed, as in Aaron Rodgers, 19 other knuckleheads couldn't see his value. So
more than
we
that.
Went, we reached. We, what's that?
More than that. Aaron Rodgers went like 25.
That's what I'm saying. If Aaron Rodgers was picked, but 25 other teams didn't see his value. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, I got you, Chuck. I just think you're discounting Sam Bradford. That guy's gold.
No, what I'm saying is, look, they tried it the other way. They waited. They used journeyman. They run it out. They tried the free agency. We all know how that turned out. Hey, they went this way. Let's see how it works. I'm actually kind of high on the kid. I think he's a winner. Let's hope it pans out. And, Barry, I actually agree with you. I would have stuck around and waited 25, but, hey, they do what they do. Hey, thank y'all, guys, and I love the show.
Appreciate it,
Chuck.
Thanks for calling, man. And you know, it's a valid point about you got to do something. You've tried everything else because they have. Yep. They've tried, you know, backup quarterbacks like Mallett. They've gone out and signed the journeyman who maybe Bill O'Brien could quarterback whisper in their ear and make them great. And none of that's worked. You went out and signed the hottest free agent quarterback in the market. So, yeah, I just feel like they did it a year too early.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, and here's what I hope doesn't happen, because when the Brock Osweiler deal happened, it was the best move at the time, and it was the absolute best option for them to address the situation. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a choice because their owner said, we are going to go out and get a quarterback this year. Well, guess what? 1 year later, what did he come out and say? We are going to draft and get a quarterback this year. And so he kind of has forced the hand and forced the issue again. So what I hope doesn't happen is 2 or 3 years from now, we're looking back at this and saying, you know, if they would have just waited one more year. But no, the owner, Bob McNair, had to force their hand and make them go make a decision too soon. I hope that's not the case. I really don't. I hope this works out. And AJ had a good point that he tweeted to us where he said, you know, the difference between like KC and Chicago moving up and doing their thing is that KC has an actual starting caliber quarterback in Alex Smith. Chicago and Houston don't. And I think you could even say Chicago is still in better shape quarterback wise than the Texans are with Savage if you're looking at any of these three rookies having to sit for a little while. So, yeah, pretty valid point about moving up.
Yeah, without question. And look, like, I think we both can agree that the one thing that we agreed on right off the top was I like the fact that they weren't scared, that they weren't overly conservative and they took a shot. But I was going to ask you, to Chuck's point, so if they stood pat, right, you had your options, Ramczyk and other guys would have been there offensive line-wise. Yep. But quarterback-wise, you got to believe Watson would have been off the board and you would have been stuck with either Kizer or just passing on quarterback.
Yeah, well, they would have gone out and drafted a quarterback, but would I have been as upset if they would have went Brad Kaya in the second or third round? No.
Really?
Mm-mm. No.
Or Kizer or...
I mean, yeah, DeShone Kizer. Kizer and both Nathan Peterman from Pittsburgh.
Kid from Cal, too.
If you look, and I pulled up the grades just to see that, you know, they had Trubisky at a 6'3", Watson at a 5'9", but Mahomes, 5'8", and then Kizer and Peterman are both 5'7s on the grading chart. And that falls within the same actual bucket that Deshaun Watson is in, which is could become early NFL starter. So, yeah, you could have addressed your need on the offensive line, possibly even done something in the second round, and then maybe jump up to the third round and grab Kaya or Webb, or excuse me, Kaya or Peterman to do that. So, Yeah, real quick, though, if you need tires, guys, check out Nexen Tires, leading warranty in the tire industry, exclusive free roadside assistance. If you get a flat tire, Nexen will change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. It's the fastest-growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. So check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more at NexenTireUSA.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.